Well, hello and welcome to the Bottom Line Me podcast, where we like to tackle the latest trends and pressing issues that many of our title insurance agents face. I'm your host, Ann Allard, and I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in to join us today. Today, we're going to dive into a topic that's been making a lot of headlines lately, title insurance. With recent developments putting it under the spotlight, there's never been a more crucial time to ensure that consumers understand its true value. Joining me today is Kevin Pagoda. Kevin is a first vice president of Old Republic National Title Insurance Company. He is also the Virginia State Manager in the Northern Division and someone who has been instrumental in developing many educational resources for Old Republic title agents that often help them address their clients' questions, objections, and misconceptions on the value of title insurance. And now it is my great pleasure to welcome someone I'm privileged to call both a colleague and a friend, Kevin Pagoda. Welcome, Kevin. It is so good to see you today and to have an opportunity to talk with you about this topic.
Well, thanks, Ann. And thank you for those kind words. It's great to have nice introductions, and now the task is to live up to them. So thanks again for having me.
I have no doubt that you will exceed my expectations. All right, Kevin, before we jump into our topic today, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your role is at ORT for those of us that don't know you?
Oh, sure. Well, we'll go back a little ways, or I'll say how many years, but when I went to college, I got a degree in rhetoric and legal studies. And so for legal studies, that prepped me to be going to law school later. Rhetoric, which is an important point to talk about today, has everything to do with persuasion, which is what I'm going to talk a little bit about today when it comes to title insurance. After law school, I went into private practice and I bounced here, there, and everywhere. And then, like so many of us in the world of title and settlement, I got sucked into the industry and I went to work for a local title and settlement company for about 8 years before I got a very important call from a headhunter that paved the way for me to apply to be state manager over here at Old Republic. And so I've been here in this wonderful company for about 18 years and I've had the privilege of leading many folks that I, like you, call my colleague and my friend. And we have a great time. And one of the favorite parts of my role is education and talking to people, whether they be attorneys or title agents or real estate agents, about all things title. And so this is just such a joy to be here with you and to talk about not all things title, but to talk about some limited topics that that we hopefully will be of value to those tuning in today.
Well, as I said, I have no doubt that you are going to bring lots of value in. It, you and I have had so many opportunities to collaborate and work together, and it's been quite some time. So I am very, very honored to have you join me today. So let's get started.
Sure.
So I think the first thing we want to talk about is recent developments. Can you share with our audience why there's been such a surge in attention around title insurance in the industry, and what implications this has for the consumer and for industry professionals alike?
That's a great question, and it is timely. Over the last couple of years, we've seen another recurrence of alternative forms of title insurance, specifically attorney opinion letters. And Alta has done a great job in educating our industry so that people that actually sit down with consumers and real estate agents can have valuable talking points to talk about the value of title insurance and the value of the services that we do as title professionals. And that's been going on for the last couple of years. But recently, the State of the Union address put once again into the forefront title insurance. Mm-hmm. And so the proposal, without going too far into that, remarks upon whether title insurance is necessary to for the consumer in specific transactions. Now, why the Biden administration has appealed to the public with that line of inquiry or that that proposal, you know, your guess is as good as mine. But I will say that fundamentally, the reason that this happens, and it this isn't the only time it happens, you know, every so often, our industry and title insurance in particular is called into question as right. to, you know, why is this necessary? And I think it goes down to the fundamental need to save money wherever and whenever we can. We sure. do that in every aspect of our life. And so when it comes down to the closing process, somebody starts looking around, well, where can we cut expenses? And what we're going to start snipping is things that we don't think are necessary, right? The deadwood, just like pruning a plant. Well, unless you understand the value of title insurance, then it looks like something that we don't need. It's an unnecessary expense. And so when you ask me, why is it that we have all of this stuff going on, calling into question about title insurance? It's just, you know, I don't know, you know, what the agenda is of the Biden administration or other government entities that talk about this. But I do know that unless you understand the value of that product, then it becomes something that is perceived as an unnecessary expense. So that's the fundamental reason why we have this upheaval on a regular basis. People don't understand the value of title insurance and what we do as title professionals.
Well, I agree. It's like I loved your analogy about pruning a plant, because until you don't realize how important it is until you neglect it, and all of a sudden the plant dies. So, yeah. Right. So talk a little bit more about some of the things that the industry is doing, I think, to perhaps educate and make both title agents and consumers aware of the value of our product.
Sure. You know, my hat's off to ALTA and local land title administrations for putting out webinars and seminars and publications to make sure that at least those of us that are administrating the policies and cleaning up the title and conducting settlements mm-hmm. understand the value of what we do. The problem is that of all the people that vote, you know, we're a very, very small percentage. Out there by the thousands and the hundreds of thousands are the buyers and the sellers and real estate agents that they don't tune into ALTA. They don't belong to the local land title association. And so it then comes down to the local title settlement professional who's administrating this product for that person to educate the average buyer or the average seller, the average real estate agent about the value of what we do. And that's the big gap in why every, you know, so often, almost like the cyclical nature of real estate, people fall into a lack of knowledge of title insurance and the value of cleaning up title and how it works. And so that's the key ingredient. How does the local title and settlement agent inform the client about the value? And in more particularly, what does that person do when the consumer just sees title insurance as an unnecessary expense and say, yeah, I don't want that. Take it off. It's optional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, you know, to go back to the American Land Title Association or local boards or your own state industry offerings, I think, you know, one of the things that the typical buyer or consumer does is what we all do is Google's title insurance, and depending on what resource they come up with or that they decide to tap into, they may or may not be getting good, accurate information. And, you know, as we both know, many people don't even know what the American Land Title Association is or that it even exists. From what I hear you say, it is really left to us in the industry to do a really good job explaining to consumers what the value of a title insurance policy is.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah. No, 100% agree. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to come on to the program and just talk a little bit about that, because that's hard, right? So often, you know, title professionals, we know how to slice and dice title six ways from Sunday. But when it comes to persuading somebody to buy title insurance when they've either been, whether they've been misinformed or they don't understand the value of the product, that's a challenge. You don't learn that from the land records. You don't learn that from the title search. You learn that from tuning into a podcast like this or through just experience.
Yep.
And if those people that are listening today, you know, could have one big takeaway, I'd say fundamentally, it would be this, is that it's necessary in this topic to really distinguish between communication and comprehension. Communication can often be focused on what I want to say. Comprehension is focused on the individual that you're talking to and making sure that you are addressing whatever needs, real or perceived, that that person has. And I say this because when it comes to title insurance, just like Google, where you could find anything to please anybody, you don't know what's rolling around in that person's mind when they decide, I don't want title insurance. And so if you're focused on your script, you might really miss the boat on your opportunity to persuade that person to say yes to something that they've already told you they don't want. And, you know, over the years in my prior job, being a local title and settlement company, as well as my current job, I've had lots of opportunity to think about this. I mean, this is what Old Republic does, right? We sell title insurance. So it's important to understand the policy. It's important to understand the coverage. It's certainly important to clear title and to fulfill all the little check boxes. But fundamentally, we're in the process and position of sales, selling title insurance. So how do you sell this product? It's not a fancy car. It's not a cruise. It's not going to sell itself. You know, you got to work hard to make this very appealing. And so when it comes down to talking about title insurance, I think that there are some ground rules to remember, as well as some good steps to follow that will help you address the needs of that one person at your closing table that said, I don't want that. And rather than focus on what you want to say, focusing on what they need to hear based upon where they are in their thinking about title insurance. So what are some of these ground rules, you know, that I'm talking about?
You're reading my mind.
Ground rule number one is just remember that when you talk about insurance, you're talking about something that offers coverage for certain situations and not others. And it's very easy to get caught up in saying things like, well, the policy will cover you for this, the policy will cover you for that. And while that's not entirely incorrect, I think that it's important for us as title agents to remember that policy coverage in any given circumstance is dependent on those circumstances. It is a very fact-specific inquiry. So while it's right and necessary to talk about what a policy is aimed at covering, it would be going too far to say that the policy will do this or will do that. And so, you know, ground rule number one, just be careful in the way that you talk about the policy without watering it down. You can't make promises without, you know, that you can't keep, right? And point number two, or ground rule number two, is the fundamental approach that I think is necessary when you're talking about policy coverage and trying to overcome objections to title insurance. And it's the fundamental precept behind persuasion. And I'll illustrate it with this. If I've got the car and you don't, and I want to come and pick you up and take you somewhere, that's fine. I mean, I'm going to drive to where you are. I'm not going to ask that you walk out of your house and meet me halfway. I'm the one with the car. I want to take you somewhere that's important, right? That's what persuasion is. Really simple. Persuasion is recognizing that someone is in a different place than you. And if you're going to try to take them from point A to point B, you have got to go to where they are and be inviting enough so that they will hop in your car and you can then take them on a scenic tour and get them to where you want them to be, right? Mm-hmm. That's persuasion. And so when it comes to title insurance, your first job when that person says, I don't want that, is to figure out, all right, where are they? Where is point A, right? Where do I need to go so that I could get them into my car and then drive them to where I want them to be, which is I want to purchase title insurance, right? And so over time, as I've thought about all the reasons why people don't want title insurance, I've come up with about five. And so I'd like to, you know, talk a little bit about those five. The first one I would call, I just label confusion. And again, these are reasons why people don't want title insurance. I say the first one would be confusion. The second one would be economic. The third one would be litigious. The fourth one I would call anything goes. And the fifth one would be my real estate agent told me to. Those, I think, you know, usually when I'm dealing with people that don't want title insurance, they fall into one or more of those five categories. And it's important to recognize when you're engaging in somebody and trying to persuade them to get from point A to point B, it's important to figure out, you know, are they in one of those spots? Because your story to tell, your car ride to take them on is going to look different depending upon where they are. And so how do you figure out then where they are when you're at a closing and they say, I don't want title insurance? Well, you've got to ask the right questions. That's fundamental to sales. It's fundamental to persuasion, is understanding who you're talking to.
Well, and first you have to convince them to get in the car.
Yeah. And that's, I'm glad you brought that up because, let's do an example. Let's say I'm the title settlement agent and you could be my first time home buyer, right? So pick a name for yourself.
Denise.
Denise. Okay. So Denise, You are my first time home buyer. You are understandably nervous. I could see it, but we're having a great time at the closing. And all the papers have been done. It's just me and you. The sellers have already signed. We're going down the settlement statement, and I'm very patient. I recognize because you're a first time home buyer.
Sure.
I'm taking
Nothing.
my time to explain what the papers mean and what the numbers mean. And then we get to title insurance. And, until we got to that point, we're laughing. The room is full of light and laughter. And then you get to that one, and all of a sudden the room somehow becomes darker, and all the good vibes, they just go away. And you just kind of tighten up and say, I don't want that. Okay, now you just said it's important for me as the persuader to convince you to get into my car, right? So
Exactly.
here's fundamental ground rule number one is when somebody says, I don't want that, take it off. Inside, I might be thinking, are you kidding me? Do you realize how much time I've spent on this file? Do you realize how many problems I fixed for you? Do you realize that that's all the money that I'm making? Do you realize I already cut my fees in half? Are you
Right.
kidding me? Now you. Okay. And we've all, anybody that's has sat down at the settlement table has had that happen and had those thoughts come up. And I'm telling you that if that happens to you, you got to take all those thoughts and cram them down and push them down as far as they could go. Because if you react negatively, no one's going to want to get in that car with you and take a drive. Because you don't know what's behind the
I don't
statement
want
that
that.
you,
Yep.
Denise, just made that you
Sure.
don't want the title insurance. You might be incensed at the fee. You might be scared about bringing up the issue, but in any event, you need some reassurance. Denise needs some reassurance that, that's fine. And so I'd say, Denise, I'm happy to do that for you. No problem whatsoever. Customer is always right. Okay. So, again, keeping it positive in whatever response that you have to make to that initial phrase that comes out of that person's mouth, and I don't want title insurance. All right. So, step one, keep it positive. Denise, happy to do that for you. But then comes the questions, because I'd like to take you on a little tour of title insurance. I'd like to convince you that title insurance is worth your money. So, I've got to find out, why you said that. So, easy question. So, Denise, before I take that off, can you tell me, why do you not want that? And so Denise, being a first-time home buyer, says, well, I could see already that I got to pay for a lender's policy, so it's not necessary that I have one, right? I love this question.
Common question. Yeah,
Yeah,
common
it's a
comment, I
common
think. Yeah.
question. And so I'm going to compliment Denise. I said, Denise, I get that question a lot. That's a great question. So let me just talk a little bit about that so you know exactly what's going on. Now, and here's my opportunity to sell title insurance. This is confusion because the consumer here is confused about the difference between a lender's policy and an owner's policy. So I'm going to spend a little time mentioning the difference between the two. I'm going to say, Denise, that policy that the lender requires, it has only one insured, one person that it's protecting, and that's the lender. It does nothing for you. And what it protects is what the lender has at stake, which is the balance of the loan. Denise, as you go through the years and you make payments on that loan, the balance is going to get less and less and less. And if you stayed there all 30 years and made all your payments on time, which I'm sure you're going to do, eventually, the loan balance is going to be zero, and that policy will be worth zero. It doesn't give you any protection whatsoever. Oh, says Denise. Now, I suppose you could just leave it at that. But here, I think by this time I've got Denise in my car. I'm going to take a little trip here. So Denise, you know, since you brought up the lender, you know, the lender is in the business of loaning money so that people like you can buy a home. And for people like you and me, we might buy 5, 6 homes in our entire lifetime. But the lenders, they do this every day, many times a day. I think that it is worth considering that the lender who's in the business of securing their loan with your real estate will always make title insurance mandatory. So if a lender who's in the business of real estate sees the value of the title insurance as so necessary as to make it mandatory, shouldn't you have pause to think about whether you should make it mandatory for yourself? It's good enough for the lender for a loan that'll eventually go down to zero. Shouldn't it be good enough for you when you have so much more at stake? That would be my trip that I would take Denise in my car if indeed that was the only reason why Denise doesn't want title insurance. It's a great common question for the first-time home buyer because it looks like you're being double charged, right? Why am I paying the cost of two policies? You know, for those of us in the industry, you know, that's like title insurance 101. But that first-time home buyer, man, they're already faced with so many first-time this and first-time that, and they come into your closing and their eyes are going round and round in circles. It's scary. And so to be patient and to understand where they're coming from, I think is so essential. Title insurance is no exception to that rule.
Wow. That's a lot to take in, but I'm curious, do you have another example of a common objection that a closing agent might hear at the table?
Sure. So again, I think, you know, I didn't think of all this yesterday after many years and seeing these objections. I think the second objection that people will put out, I'm going to say falls in a category called economic. So here again, now let's change your character. If you could pick another name, now you're a very frugal person. You're my frugal home buyer. Who do you want to be?
Oh, let's see. I think, Brian is our frugal home buyer.
Brian. Okay. So I'm meeting with you, Brian. And again, you know, we're having a great time signing papers. Everything's right. Lots of light and laughter in the room. You're laughing at all my jokes. I love it. And then we get to that category of title insurance and the optional owner's policy. And Brian, you tell me, I don't want that. Take it off. Okay. All that, those good feelings go away. But again, boom. I'm going to be very pleasant. I'm saying I'm going to be happy to do that for you. But, you know, again, I need to find out why Brian doesn't want this. I'm just asking, so, you know, before I take that off, can you just tell me why you don't want that? Well, Brian says, it's just too expensive. Ah, okay. Now, this person isn't confused. This person isn't the first-time home buyer that thinks they're being double charged. They're looking at the dollars.
Right.
So if they're concerned with the money, then my trip in the car with them along my little scenic route of persuasion has got to be focused on the money. It's not going to be any good to tell this person the difference between the owner's and the lender's policy.
Mm-hmm.
They're focused on the money. And here, I'd say there's about 4 or 5 points that you can go through altogether. I wouldn't necessarily go through every single one. It kind of depends upon how you're reading the person. But where I usually start with is, you know, when somebody says, gosh, that's a lot of money, I wouldn't disagree with the person because, again, I'd like to be positive.
It might be.
Say, yeah. I agree. That's a lot of money. Now, maybe that's $900. Maybe it's $3,500. You know, what is a lot of money to one person might be a, you know, pocket change to somebody else. The point is, this person, Brian, I'm talking to, thinks that that is too much money. So I'm going to agree and say, yeah, it's too much money. Now, I wouldn't say it's too much money. I would say and agree that it is a lot of money. And here's where I would try to reorient their comparison, because when somebody says that that's a lot of money, they're looking at that fee and they're comparing it to the other charges on that settlement statement. And here's where I think that that comparison is like comparing apples to oranges.
Right.
And so, you know, Brian, that is a lot of money compared to your other charges. But what I would invite you to consider is, how does the cost of title insurance compare to the other forms of insurance that you must have? Right. So I like to draw the attention of, let's just take your car insurance, for example. I mean, pretty much everybody drives a car, right? So I said, okay, so you drove here, you've got car insurance. Now, well, I don't know how long you're going to have that car. Let's just say it's 6 or 7 years. How much money do you think that you would have to pay up front for 6 or 7 years of coverage? Oh, okay. Well, you know, some quick calculation, you know, if you're paying, I don't know, $1,000 to $2,000 a year, paying all of your car insurance up front to last that 6 or 7 years that you might have that vehicle, you're talking about $15,000, $20,000, perhaps. You know, it depends upon a lot on, you know, what car you've got, what coverage. Mm-hmm. But the point that I try to make with people is that you already have insurance, but it's not front-loaded. It's not a one-time payment. If it were a one-time payment, then we could be comparing apples to apples here. Your car insurance is far more expensive than the title insurance that you're looking at right now. Your title insurance is unique in that it is not an ongoing expense. People become fixated on the ongoing expense.
Exactly.
But when you try to combine it all together, and then you can compare what is 6 or 7 years worth of car insurance or health insurance, or just fill in the blank with insurance. Now compare that to title insurance and you see what a steal it is. And then you can talk about how, well, Brian, you know, title insurance doesn't stop after 6 or 7 years. You know, just like you're always going to have a car, that's going to go on for quite some time.
Right.
Well, great. Title insurance protects you for the time that you own the home, and it also has coverage that extends beyond the point that you own that home, as well as coverage to perhaps your successors in interest. That's just economic point number one, but I like to start with that one because often people are saying that it's too expensive because they're making the wrong comparison, and they're comparing the cost of title insurance to other fees that they see on the settlement statement, and yeah, compared to some of those other fees, it is a lot more money, but it is not a lot more money when you compare it rightfully to other forms of insurance, almost all of which are an ongoing expense. And so when you try to focus on comparing apples to apples, that's an economic argument that is well worth mentioning.
It's just so, I think it makes so much sense to make that comparison, though. And so the frugal buyer now realizes that this is really a bargain.
Right, right. But if, and you know, some people need more convincing. So
yeah.
for the others, there's a couple of more economic arguments. I know that in my state in Virginia, after you buy a home, if you have an owner's policy and you go to do a refinance, we'll give you a discount. That's always worth mentioning, at least mm-hmm. in my state of Virginia. It might not be true for some of the other right. folks that are listening in on this call, but that certainly is worth mentioning. It's also worth mentioning to the buyer, if the buyer has got a significant down payment, and say, let's say that the loan is only covering 80% of the value. They say, you know, when you want to think about what's at risk when you walk out the door, it's this number right here. the amount of money that you've wired in today that the loan is not covering. Because if you have a title problem, that is what might go away. And so if there's a hefty amount there, then that is certainly worth mentioning. A standard thing to mention is just the cost of fixing problems. In our world of title insurance, when a title issue erupts, filing a claim really just takes time. That's the only cost. Generally, you know, Old Republic, we take it from there. We administrate the claim, and there's no need for you to spend money on attorneys filing lawsuits to fix problems. And there's really no such thing as a cheap title issue to fix. Usually that takes a fair amount of money when you're going to engage the services of an attorney to fix that problem. All of those economic answers are important when you discover, again, that the person is focused in on the numbers. There's one more that is tricky. I will end with when I'm talking about trying to address somebody's economic concerns. You know, the cost of title insurance, for those of us in the industry, we understand it. But to explain it is pretty difficult. When you talk about the cost of an owner's policy, the cost of the lender's policy, and the cost of both, well, okay, how does that work? And we won't even get into the cost per thousand and the stratospheres.
Right.
But if I were to try to simplify it, I would say this. Here's the cost of a lender's policy. Here's the cost of an owner's policy, a little bit more. But if you get both, we're not going to charge this and plus this. We're going to give you a deal. We're going to say, just pay us the cost of the full owner's policy, and we'll throw in that lender's policy for just a little fee. That's all. That's how title insurance is largely administered. And when people see settlement statements, depending upon the state that you're in, they might see the full cost of the lender's policy here and the full cost of the owner's policy over here, and think that they're going to, well, actually, what they might see, and here's the more appropriate, they might see the full cost of the owner's policy here, and then they're going to see the small little simultaneous issue fee over here and think, oh, look at all the money I'm going to save. I'm going to get rid of the owner's policy, and then all I have to do is spend that $150 for a lender's policy. No. That, you know, big shocker is that when that settlement statement is revised, then all of a sudden they're going to have, you know, a lot more money. So part of the education then means explaining that complicated way title insurance is administered and charged. And that might be the economic discussion that a consumer needs to hear before you take that charge off.
Yeah, I agree. I think it can be very confusing to someone. I mean, we talk about this and we live in this world every day. I mean, I can even recall when my son bought his first home and the attorney said to him, do you want an owner's policy? And he said, I don't know. And the attorney said, call your mother. Which you should do for most things anyway before you make decisions. But even someone that has been around it is confused by whether, you know, by the intricacies, the ins and outs, the why do I need this? What do I need? What choices do I have? And how do I make the best choice for me in my individual situation? So I couldn't agree more that education is the key. And I think I've said it many times that perhaps we need to really do a much better job educating the consumer on our product. You know, you can't taste it, smell it, feel it, you know, but it's an important product. It's a very important product, but it's not like buying your Starbucks coffee where you put your hands around the cup and it feels nice and warm and you get a great fuzzy warm feeling when you take that first sip. There's nothing sexy about title insurance. So,
that's right.
But Kevin, is there anything else you'd like to share with us? I'm wondering if maybe we need to have you back, or do you think you're ready to give us the bottom line?
No, I'm having too much fun. I'd actually like to milk this out a little bit. I've got three more points that I'd like to make. I'd like to talk about what happens when the person who doesn't want title insurance is just litigious. In other words, they're just going to find somebody to sue. And then we have another genre of people where you really don't know what they're thinking. I call that anything goes.
Right.
And the final problem, it's a really tricky problem, is what happens when the consumer doesn't want title insurance because they're taking a cue from their real estate agent who says that, well, they don't want that. So I'd like to come back and talk about those if you'll have me back.
I would love, I think those are three really important areas and three real case scenarios that many people deal with. But I know we're out of time today and you have other things that are more pressing. So we're not going to get to the bottom line today, which this is the first time that's happened since we've started our Bottom Line Me podcast. But I think what we'll do is we will sign off for today by thanking you and thanking our audience today for joining us and hoping that they've all learned something, they've grown from this, and eventually we'll all prosper from your wise wisdom. And we'll be back again for part two of this real soon. So
great. Looking
thanks,
forward to
Kevin.
It.